anointed singing. Stir up our heart about a mighty God. God that walks with us everywhere that we go. When we lose loved ones, Sister McDonald, God has a way of stepping in and upgirding our heart, letting us know that He's there. We're never alone. Say, I'm never alone. Say, I'm never alone. God is always with me. Praise the Lord. He will never leave nor forsake you. He got up with you this morning. Well, He was up. He was just there when you got up. He came with you to the house of God. He sat down with you today. And He's right there beside you right now. Come to tell you He loves you. He cares for you. He's here to help you. But preacher, you don't know the mess I'm in. No, you're right, I don't, but He does. And He's the one that brought you here today. And I'm not your hope, He's your hope. He can certainly make it happen. He's come to bless you today. Genesis chapter 32, we're going to begin with verse number 24. To our guests, we welcome you so much. We're so honored that you are with us, believing God to do miraculous things in your life. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. Now that's not Jacob prevailing against the angel. That's the angel not prevailing against Jacob. When the angel realized that he could not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Pulled his leg out of socket. And Jacob still didn't let go. I got a funny feeling the angel didn't give him laughing gas or any Novocaine or any painkiller or put him out. He just yanked his leg out of socket. Let me go. Pain shot through his body, but Jacob never let go. Jacob had a hold of what he knew was his only hope. Out of joint, wrestled, just continued on wrestling with him. And he said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he saith, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Woo. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. So the word of the Lord goes on to say, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, you know my name, I want to know yours. He said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore it is that thou askest after my name? It's none of your business, son. Just do what I told you to do. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. I want to spend a few minutes here today talking about when your flesh gets a hold of God. I'm going to prove to you that God wants your body. He wants your mind. He wants your soul. He wants your spirit. But he wants your flesh too. I think too often we like to cast off the flesh and call it dirty. God said, I've got a remedy for that. You let me worry about cleansing your flesh. You give your body to me. I've got great and mighty things I want to do in this earth. Now, I know this is a little strange. That's what I told God when he gave it to me. I said, God, this is weird. And I was talking to my wife last night. I was putting it together. It was hot at the office. I drove to the office. The AC was out. We got that being taken care of. It's too high, 87 degrees. I said, God, I can't work in this. I'm a pansy. I'm going back home. Took my stuff, went home, put my little machine up on the big screen, sat on the couch, got my little portable keyboard out, and started putting the message together. God had put in my heart and putting it all together. My wife came in. She was talking to me, and we was putting it together. And I said, you know, I'm putting this together, but I really don't know a thing God's talking about. And I have no clue where he's going with this. But I usually don't, so don't worry about it. It's not often I got him figured out till I walk in the pulpit, but then I still don't have him figured out. I just let him have his way. So we're just going to ride this thing for a little while and find out where it lands. But I know this in the Holy Ghost. God has come after you today. God's got you in the crosshairs of his scope, honey. And he's narrowing down on you. And he wants your body. He wants to use you for his glory. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Lord, bless the message and the preacher. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, let's back up with this thing just a little bit. The word of the Lord tells us that God creates the heaven and the earth, and he creates all the different things, the air and the stars and the moons and the sun, and he breathes, creates the animals and the fish in the sea and the fowl of the air. And finally, the word of the Lord says that God comes down upon this earth and he forms a man out of the dust of the ground. Now, we're not really sure exactly how all of that takes place, but we do know we're made from the dust of the ground. If I was to take your body and set it on fire, you would burn down to a little bitty pile of nothing. You'd just be a small little pile of dust in here, and the elements in that dust would be worth $1.37 if I could sell them on the market. So please, those of you that walked in here arrogant, you're nothing but a glorified mud ball. As Brother Jeff Arnold would put it. So God reaches down and he forms out of the dust of the ground. Now, the word of the Lord tells us he forms a body. And this body, through the miraculous power of God, becomes flesh that you and I feel today. You can reach up there. Adam was made out of the same stuff I'm made out of. You'd have had a knife and cut Adam, he'd have bled. He was made out of flesh. The Bible makes that very plain. And God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. And so from the original plan of God, he always intended for spirit to fellowship with flesh. I didn't think I'd get much response out of that because you know how dirty your flesh is. And I'm not talking about those of you that didn't take a bath this morning. I'm talking about we know our nature. We know our thoughts. We know our intents. We know our faults and our failures and our weaknesses. And so we say to ourselves inside of our mind, how could my flesh, which is intimate with God, ever have fellowship with him? Now, Adam's flesh was without sin. It was
perfect, but he was flesh indeed. If God just wanted to fellowship with spiritual beings, then he would have just created some more angels. Now, we don't have all of this figured out, but God in his omnipotence, God in his all-knowing, he somehow understood the special relationship of the human body. With God, it goes beyond the relationship of an angelic being, because they don't experience what we experience. They don't understand the things we understand. In fact, the Bible tells us that the angels look over the balcony of heaven and they inquire into the human race because they can't comprehend the way we think and the way we act and the relationship that we have with God. It befuddles them. God, knowing this in all of his wisdom and glory, he created this thing called a human body. And then he would come down and he would fellowship and talk with Adam. He would spend time with him. We assume every day. The word doesn't really specify that. I know that we preach that God came down in the cool of the eve every day, but the Bible actually doesn't say that. In fact, there's a lot of things we preach the Bible don't say. We just preach them so long we think it's Bible. Then we know by drawing out from Scripture that God fellowshiped with man. And his desire was to walk with him. Now, after Adam had sinned and fallen, the word says that it was at the cool of the eve that the voice of God came walking through the garden, looking for Adam. Adam hid himself. There's something about knowledge that can either bring you to God or separate you from God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The more I know about God, the closer I can get to God. But the more I get knowledge of sin, the further I go away from God. The bottom line is this: whichever one you educate is the one you're going to become. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you dwell on things of the flesh, things of carnality, things of sin, you will become a carnal sinner. But if you dwell on the things of God, it will transform your mind, it will cleanse your body, and you will become a vessel that God can use for his glory. Anybody want to be used of God? See, we have to remember that it was flesh that God created. He didn't create the spirit. He breathed the breath of life. The breath of life came from God. And when you die, the breath of life is going to go back to God. The body came from the dirt. And when you die, the body is going to go back to the dirt. From the dust which it came, until the rapture. When God resurrects your original body, because it's what he created from the beginning to have fellowship with. Just stay with me for a little while. I got plenty of time. I started 3 before 12. I can preach a 3-hour message and still be good. When you stand before the judgment of God, you will stand in your glorified body, but it will be your body. I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I know that we don't really understand all of this, but I'm asking you to follow me here in the scripture for a little bit. And if you chose for your body to fellowship with God while you were on earth, then you will have eternal fellowship with him. But if you chose for your body to fellowship with sin while you were here on earth, and your body was never redeemed, and that spirit which quickened Jesus never dwelled in your body, then the Bible tells us that your body will not be quickened to spend eternity with God, but it will be quickened to spend eternity in hell. Look at your neighbor and say, but either way,
it's going to be you. All right, stay with me.
So God creates flesh. He breathes into flesh an eternal soul. God was with Adam, fellowship with Adam. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8 of Genesis. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Sin drove man out of the presence of God, because God could no longer fellowship or commune with that flesh as long as it was contaminated with the ugliness of sin. Now follow me. We don't fully understand it all, but sin has a way of attaching itself to your flesh. It appears to be the main avenue. It's through knowledge. Because God said, who told you, who gave you knowledge that you were naked? When knowledge came into their mind, sin had a way of attaching itself to that flesh. That's the reason why the Bible says your mind has to be renewed, that you got to be washed. You got to let the mind be washed with the word of God. Why? Because God wants to fellowship with your body again. Where, my God, have mercy. Jesus said, I'm now with you, but I shall be in you. In what? In your body, in your flesh. God says, I want your body. I created your body. I breathed the breath of life into it. I made you an eternal soul. And I want your body.
I know you're confused. Stay with me. Just clap your hands to the Lord for a second.
Now, I'm not going to get on this today because I don't have time. But that's the reason why the Bible spends so much time about how you treat your vessel. The word of the Lord says that it's not your body, it's His. So we got to be careful what we eat, what we drink, where we go, how we live, what we subject our bodies to. Because these are vessels that God made and created. And He created you to fellowship with you. If He just wanted to fellowship with you in the spirit, He'd have just breathed in the air. And there you would have been. Hi, John. What's up, Bill? You look different today. Your shape's a little oblong. Yeah, I thought I'd take an oblong shade on today. I'm going to take a round shape tomorrow and square on Wednesday. No, God didn't breathe you in the air as some mystical spirit. He created you out of the dust of the earth. He made a body that has arms and legs and eyes and ears because He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to touch you. He put emotions in you that spirits don't have. He put feelings in bodies that spirits don't have. And God wants to fellowship with your body.
Now, this is almost the opposite of everything you've ever heard preached. Because we're always damning and condemning the body. And we exalt the spirit man. And there's a good reason for it. The flesh is filthy. It's thoughts. Let me tell you, there is nothing on earth that can become more vile than the human body. We are capable of the worst conceived atrocities
that you can ever imagine. Because God made us in His image. So in glory, there's no limit to excellence. But in dishonor, there's no limit to how low we can go. So God created the human body. Look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. Everybody say covenant. Between who? And of? Where's this covenant? Sean, it's covenant. It's with your flesh. Because if God can't get you to control your body, your soul will be eternally damned. Wait a minute. If my soul could make my body do what's right, we would all be angels. Because the soul thirsteth after his creator. The soul wants the fellowship after its creator. But guess what? My soul goes where my... See, God's not so worried about the fellowship of the soul. If he can get your flesh to take a knee and humble itself before him and let his spirit cleanse your body and bring your body under subjection to the spirit, everything else will serve God. God is after your body. It's what he created. It is what his covenant is with. God and flesh. Look at verse number 19. Look at your neighbor and say, water break. Thank you. Genesis 17 and verse number 19. Are we making any sense yet? Thank you, all seven of you, thank you. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him. Verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael his son. Because Isaac wasn't born yet. And all that were born in his house. And all that were brought with his money. Every male among the men of Abraham's house. Here's the covenant. And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. Why did he circumcise the flesh? Because it was symbolic for the cutting off of sin. Let me be bold to you. If you go to hell, it's because of your flesh. You never brought it under subjection. You never subdued it to the spirit. And because of that, your soul is corrupt. Your eternal spirit is damned. God said, I want to fellowship in your body. I want to get in your body. I'm not there yet, but I got a question for you. Why do you think that's where the war is? There's so much revelation in this message, I can't handle it myself. Why do you think that's where the temptations are? He don't tempt my soul. Because my soul don't have any choice but to do whatever I choose for the flesh to do. He tempts my flesh. My weakness is in my flesh. And if we could learn to bring this body into subjection to Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be a devil in hell that could stop you. There wouldn't be a devil in hell that could stop us. Why do you think he attacks the flesh? Causes your flesh to become sick and weak and crippled and tired. Why do you think when you stay up all night working, God bless you, but you don't take the time to go to bed in the day, and then you stay up all night the second night, and the next morning is Sunday, God bless you, you come to church anyway because you're an incredible saint of God, and you come to the house of God, and you go, I just can't seem to get into it. I'm tired. Well, what's your body got to do with it? Everything. If my body didn't have anything to do with it, why does the Bible talk about raising hands? Oh, I raise my hands in my heart. If your body didn't have anything to do with it, why does the Bible talk about dancing? That's the Bible. How David say, I can run, leap over a wall, and run through a troop. Why? Because it's got everything to do with your body. It's what God wants to fellowship with. He wants you to clap your hands, all your people, and shout, and shout, and shout with the voice of triumph. Worship is everything to do with the body. Have you not ever noticed when you didn't feel like it, inside or out, but you started dancing anyway? The joy comes to the soul. Why? Because the soul follows the body. Your spirit follows the body. Whatever the flesh does, it follows after it. That's why the Bible says, well, actually, we said it. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, I don't know, it's or not. Careful, little feet, where you go. Watch me. This isn't it, I'm making this up. Because everything your flesh does affects your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you ought to be making up your mind. I'm going to bring my body under subjection. I'm going to serve God with my body. You want to know why you have such a tough time serving God? Because you're always trying to submit your spirit. You're always trying to submit your soul, but you never submit your body. And until your body is serving God, none of you is serving God. Somebody say, God created flesh. He likes flesh. He wore it one time. He thought it fit pretty good. Man's fear of God grows because of our misconception of relationship with God.
Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 24. The word of the Lord says, and he said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth. So here's Israel. And there's Moses, their leader. And God comes down. And he begins to speak not only to Moses, but he speaks to all of the congregation. Wouldn't that be incredible if God just kind of showed up today and just started talking?
Hello. Naughty, naughty.
Half of us would get up and run out from pure foolishness, because he's everywhere. He just talked here. They said, we heard the voice of God. We now know that God talks to man. Oh, foolish Israel, God has always desired to talk to man. It's been his heartbeat from the very beginning. When he created Adam, he would come every day and he would talk and commune and talk and commune and talk and commune. So what do they say? Talking to Moses. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire. Now, I'm about to give you revelation. That's going to help you or kill you. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then shall we die. Now look at verse number 26. For who is there of all flesh that have heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Their fear was this: if I bring my flesh into the presence of God, I will be consumed. You see, the devil's been doing this for generations, because he's got you convinced of the same thing. Every time you try to come near God, he reminds you of your faults and failures and your sins and your weaknesses, your dirty thoughts, your dirty deeds, your dirty words. He reminds you of all of this, and you say, I cannot bring this dirty flesh in the presence of God. I've got news for you, Israel. If God was going to kill you, you'd have died the first word spoken. God understood your weakness of the flesh before he ever opened up his mouth. God understood the weakness of your flesh before he ever convicted you, before he ever drew you, before he ever filled you, before he ever baptized you. How much more now that his spirit is upon you and in you, his name is on you, how much more? Paul put it this way: enter boldly into the throne room of grace.
Come on, clap your hands. Somebody help the preacher today. I don't know if you're getting it. And I know I'm horrible explaining things. I know this because I'll say things and then they do the opposite. Not really. Yeah, really, but not all the time. Or I'll have a conversation with one of you and the next day there'll be a phone call and I'll go, where'd that come from? And they'll say, well, you said it. I said, now look, I know my memory's not good, but I am not senile. And that is not what I said. So I'll even ask my wife sometimes, is that how that's translated? Now, not her. She's perfect. She does everything right. She is. She's perfect. And if she ever does anything wrong, it's because I said it wrong. Trust me. She lets me know that, and that's just the way it is. But I'll ask her, did this come out wrong? Was I speaking French? Bonjour. I mean, I'm trying to figure it all out. So I know I'm not the best explainer in the world. But the Holy Ghost has a way of helping the preacher out a little bit and bring it into your heart and make it sound right. So I'm here to tell you that when the devil comes against you and he begins to tell you all those things, there's something that you need to remind the devil of. Devil, when God made you, you were pure, angelic, without fault, perfect, no flesh, and you failed. But what makes you mad, devil, is this. God has no desire to reestablish his fellowship with you, devil. But he had such a desire with me. My God, have mercy. That it drove him to a cross. And he shed his blood and he died for me because he wants to have fellowship. So yes, devil, I'm all messed up. I'm all weak. Everything's out of sorts. But I'm going to go into the presence of the Lord because he desires to fellowship with me, with my flesh. And when I repent, he will forgive. Somebody shout, God wants my flesh. Worship the Lord just for a moment. I wish we could get this revelation. Because if you could get this revelation, you'd go home today and you'd say, God, here I am. All my failures, all my weaknesses, all my sins. But God, I humble my body to you. And then you'll feel your soul begin to get excited and your spirit will begin to dance because they're trapped in your body. And until you do this, they cannot be free. Until you worship and praise him. How? In your body. That's what's so horrible about all of these different people, religious people in the world. There's churches
There's churches that are in communism that they take hankies. They gag themselves. They tie them in the back. They gag themselves. And they put their hands. You just put your hands under your legs because you're afraid you might get excited and start shouting or clapping your hands. And if they do, the police will come and take them away. But in America, hold on, one second, we're going to shout and say, but in America, by the millions, they gather and fold their hands and close their mouths as though God is not interested in their bodies. And they say, I praise him with my mind. If God wanted a mind, he'd have made you just a mind in a bottle full of liquid. And they never clap their hands. And they never open their mouths. Now, Tabernacle of Pentecost, we have a police officer here today. Well, we have one that's a member, actually. And so he's part of us. So he won't tell the government that we're here praising God, lest they come take us away. But there's another police officer. But to my knowledge, the only thing he's doing is watching the cars. In fact, he was in service last week. He's a Jew, God's original child. And he loved our worship because worship originated with them. So I wonder today, why are you folding your hands? Why are you not doing something with your body to pray? I feel some souls being liberated. I feel some spirits being set free. Because when you're praising with your body, your entire being worships. He wants your praise. He wants your dance. He wants your shout. He wants your body. You be seated. Just a few more minutes. No wonder God chose the tongue. As the Bible says, the most unruly member of your body. The member most difficult to bring under control. Your tongue. God said, it's the first thing I'm going to use. Watch me. When I come in. Hold on. Why? It's more than you knowing that you got it. It's him knowing he's got it. Because if he can't control your tongue, he'll never get your hands. He'll never get your feet. He'll never get your body praising, serving, worshiping, working, doing for the kingdom of God. So when he comes in, you talk in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance.
That's God saying, I'm here. And that's you telling God, I give you everything. I give you all. Because he wants your body. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants your body. Just a few more minutes. You will always war in your body. It's because it's where the battle is. Now, we fight not against flesh and blood. The Bible is saying is flesh doesn't fight flesh. But see, the devil has blinded us to that too. And so we get body fighting body. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Soft, man. Watch out. Hurt the preacher's sister too. I'd come up here and beat you up. Yeah. I thought you gave that to God. Looks like the devil's been boring it. You won't talk in tongues, but you'll sure talk about your sister. I'm surprised some of you still standing up in the ring. That hit you so hard. Yeah. I'll leave that alone. I'll get distracted and lose everything God's trying to do. I can hear the Spirit saying, son, continue on. I gave you your notes. Romans chapter 7, verse number 19. For the good that I would. Now watch me. I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And Paul's talking about his soul. In my soul, I want to do good. But my flesh controls me. Even Paul the apostle had this battle. Now hold on, he's got an answer too. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now he's talking about his flesh. He said, so if I do the things that I really don't want to do, but I find myself doing them anyway, it's not my soul, but it's my body. Somebody say, God wants my body. Because if God can get your body, oh my Lord have mercy, you will turn your world upside down for him. If we ever learn to submit our vessels in prayer and fasting and reading the word and witnessing and putting pride away and all of those things and submitting ourselves and humbling ourselves, there's nothing we can't accomplish in God. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Does anybody relate to Paul? See, we like this. This sounds good. Because if Paul messed up, it's pretty justifiable for me. Not really. Still flesh. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My soul wants the things of God. But I see another law in my members. So my soul wants to do the things of God, but my flesh does not. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Verse number one, there is therefore now, here we go, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, watch me, God sending his own Son, how? In the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Somebody help the preacher. I come to tell you, you've got power over power of sin that is in your flesh. Jesus came in the body and he conquered, and he's given us the power to do the same. I'm almost done. I'm halfway, okay. But I never finish, so don't worry. Where was I? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Remember knowledge? Wherever you acquire your knowledge is what you're going to become. Because the corner of mine is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be, indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, watch me, cannot please God. If you walk after your carnal flesh, I don't care how much you desire him, how much you talk in tongues, how much you come to church, how holy you may live on the outward side, it doesn't matter what you do. If you walk after the things of the flesh, you cannot please God. Why? Because God wants your body. But we that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that we, how? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at Galatians 5:17. A few more verses, and I'm going to bring this to conclusion. And we're going to end this. I want to tell you, if you're here today and you do not have the power of the Holy Ghost, God wants to give you his Spirit and put it deep down on the inside of you. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that we cannot do the things that we would. Everybody say war. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You say, but Brother Kyle, Pastor, I can't seem to get my flesh to hunger after God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Psalm 63:1. He didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He just loved God. He's the same one that said, I'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than be a king in a palace. He said, one day in the house of God is better than 1,000 anywhere else. He said, to be in the presence of the Lord is greater than anything that I know. And he didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Look what he said, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Of Judah, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Watch me, my soul thirsteth for thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. But David had a revelation. It doesn't do any good for my soul to thirst after you, because my soul can't leave my body and go to the house of God. My soul can't get up and just read the word. My soul can't just get out and go witness. My soul can't just get up and go pray. My soul thirsts. My soul hunger. But David had a revelation. He said, until my flesh longeth for thee in dry and thirsty land where no water is. David realized, until my flesh begins to cry out, my soul is in bondage. And so David said, I will bring my body. I will submit my body. Flesh, you will do what I tell you to do. You will go where I tell you to go. You will praise. You will pray. You will read. You will desire.
I am so thirsty. Look at, literally, look at verse, chapter 84 and verse 2. Just a few more minutes. What did he say? Here he goes again. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My soul wants you, Jesus. My soul desires you. But he went on to say, my heart and my flesh, they crieth out for the living God. David was a man like anybody else. He had all the faults. Read his history. Committed adultery. He committed murder. He did all kinds of things that weren't right. He numbered the people. He trusted in the arm of the flesh and not in the might of God. He did all of these things. But his flesh hungered after God. His flesh. He was a man of faults and a man of failures. But he got up and he went to the house of God. And he submitted his body because he knew God wanted his body and his soul could not be in the presence of God until his body would allow it to be. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. I know I'm taking a little while, but I really am coming to a close. Enoch walked with God and was not. God took his flesh. Say hi to everybody, Enoch. Hi. Enoch didn't speak English. Hola. Enoch got so close to God, not in his spirit and soul. Enoch. Every day. You know what the Bible tells me? That if I walk with God every day, one of these days, trumpet's gonna sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up into the air forever to be with the Lord. He wants our bodies. He desires our bodies. Okay, let's stand. Music come. I want to show you something. Let's stand. I want to give you some more revelation. If I say God wants your body. You see, God is so interested in your flesh. That he came in the flesh himself. He so desires your body. That when he couldn't get theirs, he just made him a no. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? In the flesh. Jesus came back to show us. You ready? to show us that flesh could once again walk in harmony with spirit. He came to show me and you that in all of the weakness of the flesh, that we can submit our vessels to God and walk in harmony with the Spirit. That's why he came in the flesh. I want to show you one more thing. Look at Luke 24, 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, this is what we say. We say, God's not interested in my physical body. Well, when the rapture comes, I'm going to have this spiritual body. Oh, yeah? You think so? Like I said, we preach a lot of things that aren't in the book. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them. Now this is after his death, burial, resurrection. He's ascended to the Father and he comes back and now he's meeting. Mary touched him and John, Thomas the doubter touched him and all that. Right? But they were terrified and frightened. Watch this. And suppose that they had seen a what? Yeah, don't get ahead of me, scripture guy. Get out of the flesh, son. Get in the spirit and follow me. Where was I? And suppose that they had seen a... The rest of y'all can't read? And suppose they had seen a... Thank you. Somebody yelled out to make up for 15 of you. Watch me. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Watch me. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Now you better get a hold of what I'm telling you. Handle me. Watch. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, got anything to eat? The old boy is hungry. Now, he probably wasn't hungry, but he's proving a point. You see, you've believed in your mind that your resurrected body is going to be this completely spirit. Now, granted, it's going to be something beyond we can understand. Because in that body with flesh and bone, he walked through a wall. So don't misunderstand me. It's going to be immortal. And it's going to be beyond anything that you could I could ever imagine. But here's my point. It's going to be your body. And if God don't come for 1,000 years and we die, I'm planning on living to 1,001, but and we die, and our body turns back to dust from whence it came. The Bible says that those that died went before us, that he shall resurrect their bodies. If the wind blew your particles, you died in an airplane crash. And it burned before you hit the ground, and your dust went everywhere. My God's big enough to go pick up every grain of dust. Watch me. And he won't leave one grain out.
because he wants your body. So in resurrection, I'm going to have flesh. Now he's going to give me the unique ability to walk through this pulpit. I'm not there yet. So we don't understand all of that, but we do know there's flesh and bone. And we do know that if we want to sit down and eat a piece of fish, we can do it. Pick a fruit off a tree, we can do it. Because from the very beginning, it's always been about your body dwelling in you, walking with you, fellowshipping with you. Now, when the rapture comes, the devil's going to be bound, and I know the time, I'm getting timeline a little bit out of here, but the overall picture, the devil's going to be bound, and we're going to be free from sin, no more temptation. So the immortal body that we have, even though it's flesh and bones, the spirit, the blood's going to be the spirit of God flowing, I guess, through us. And we're going to live eternally. And no devil, no temptation, none of that. We're going to live forever. Really? Really? You're going to make God wait until then? Before he has full control of your vessel. You know how it is at Christmas time, don't you? 3 days before Christmas, presents are under the tree. I never had that privilege after I got married. The first time I ever had a present under a tree is when my mother-in-law put one before I married my wife. No, it had to be after, because we only dated for 4 months and we got married December 5th, right? I wanted her to wait. I said, baby, she denies this. I said, baby, wait. We have to wait till March. No, I can't wait till March. I want to marry you. She's like God. She married me for my body. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Hey, it wasn't that funny. All right, get back. So you know how it is. 3-4 days before Christmas, mama's gone, daddy's gone. It's just you in the presence. Right? And a little voice says, don't do it. Don't do it. But your flesh controls your spirit. Makes its way to that ungodly tree. I'm kidding. Rips the paper off very neatly so you can tape it back. And you go, it's a G.I. Joe. That's what Calvary was. You see, God knew the day was going to come. He was going to have you. Rapture. Immortal body. All of you would be his. But he said, I can't wait. Well, how are you going to do it now? Every mind on God. How are you going to accomplish that, Lord? Because they're full of sin. There is ungodliness upon them. How are you going to have fellowship with that fallen flesh before the immortal moment of time when all things are pure? And Simon Peter staggered out of the upper room, standing with the other 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them,
You men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all. Not your souls. And I will pour out of my spirit upon all. You see, God wants your body. And he will pour his spirit into you today. And he will give you power over sin. Mark put it this way, and you shall have power over all the power of your enemy. And if you so desire to give your vessel to him, he will give you the power which will enable you to conquer sin. But there's things in my life that I can't overcome, and I'm ashamed of them. God will pour his spirit upon you. And it didn't stop there. He said in Acts chapter 2 that when you repent of your sins and you're baptized in the name of Jesus, that he will wash away those sins. He will remove them as far as the east is from the west. He will cleanse your body by the blood of the Lamb. He will purify your flesh, and you will come before God. He will put his spirit on the inside of you, and you will have communion with God. And every day he will walk with you. And every day he will talk with you. And every day you will feel him not only in your soul, but you'll feel him go up and down your body. We call them goosebumps. You'll feel its glory shake you. You'll feel his power as it surges through your vessel. Every eye closed, if you would, every mind on God. This altar is open. Are you here today? I wonder, would you step out from where you are, sir? Young man, young lady, would you come to this altar and say, God, I give you everything. God, I give you my mind. God, I give you my spirit. God, I give you my soul. But God, I give you my body. Paul put it this way in the book of Romans. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give your bodies to God, which is your reasonable service. Let God have your body. Let God have your body. Come give him your vessel today. Here's my hands, Lord, they're yours. Here's my feet, God, they're yours. Here's my eyes, Lord, they're yours. Here's my ears, God, they're yours. Everything I have, God, I give to you. Everything I have, God, I give to you. Don't make God wait until that resurrection day. Because the sad reality is this: if you don't give God your body now, he won't accept it then. It'll be cast off. He'll say, depart from me, thy worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But if you'll give him your body today, if you'll let the Holy Ghost come into your body today, if you'll let God take over your body today, if you'll let God speak through you today, if you'll give God your vessel today, then the day will come when he will say, enter in, thy faithful child. Well done. Well done. Well done. I hope the Holy Ghost has reached someone here. Let's begin to pray, church. If you're standing next to someone and they look like they might want to come, but sometimes it's a little difficult to step out on your own. Why don't you invite them to an altar to pray? Young lady, hear the Holy Ghost right now. Hear the Holy Ghost. Give God your body. Give God your body. Let Him have that vessel. He can use you mightily. He can use you wonderfully. Don't let the devil have your body. Don't yield your members to unrighteousness. Let God come to you right now. But Pastor, you don't know what I've already done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because when God comes to you, He washes away your past. He cleanses your past, never to be remembered against you again. He puts His blood upon you. He fills you with His Spirit. He gives you power over sin. Call out to Him. Come on, yield those hands to Him. Raise them up to Him. Tell Him, I love you. Yield your mouth to Him. I love you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Yield your heart to Him. Yield your soul and spirit to Him. Give that body to Him. Let God come upon that body. Let God come upon that body. Let the Holy Ghost come upon you. Let the power of God come upon you. Begin to call upon Him. Begin to call upon Him until the power of God touches you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Begin to call upon Him. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Give God. Give God your body. Yield your body to Him.